for the benefit of those with flash photography.
Yo.
Let's go. This is DreamWork. Thank you for joining us. I, as always, am Colin Delaney. In a moment, you will hear the voice of my tag team partner. His name is Cheech. We are the tag team known as To Infinity and Beyond. And this is DreamWork. You probably already know by now. It's a podcast where we talk about a thing we love very much. And that thing is tag team wrestling. Speaking of tag team wrestling, this past weekend, me and Cheech did some tag team wrestling at Excite in Binghamton, New York, taking on the High Seas of Captain Nick Ando and Cheech's former partner, Cloudy. If you haven't checked out Excite Wrestling out of Binghamton, check it out. They've got stuff on IWTV, and if you're in the Binghamton, New York area, definitely check it out. They got some big shows coming up. Now, we got a weekend off before we're back. We got AIW coming up. I will update you guys on that as it gets closer. But this week on the podcast, we are talking about the Hart Dynasty, the Stampede Bulldogs. I think Cheech said they had another name, but I can't remember it off the top of my head. But yes, D.H. Smith, Harry Smith, Davey Boy Smith Jr., whatever you like to call him, and Tyson Kidd, T.J. Wilson, whatever you like to call him. Man, these guys have a lot of names. But yes, the Hart Dynasty, a team that I wanted to cover because I wanted to cover one of the T.J. Wilson, Tyson Kidd teams, whether it be him and Harry Smith or him and Cesaro, and we settled on the Hart Dynasty. I just think... as far as tag team wrestling goes, and as far as being a tag team wrestler, TJ Wilson was very, very, very good at it, and a guy who I don't think gets enough credit. Career cut short by injuries, now does a great job producing for the WWE. I got a chance to work with TJ on one of my more recent trips to WWE, and he is a pleasure to work with, and a shame that we don't get to see more TJ Wilson matches at this point, but we did get to dive in and watch these matches, and it was a delight. It was a treasure. So let's get into it. Let's talk about it. It's TJ Wilson. It's DH Smith. It is the Hart Dynasty. Hello, Cheech.
Hello, Colin.
I feel like being a podcast about tag team wrestling, it would be wrong if we didn't right off the top mention that Bobby Eaton passed away today.
Yes, 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 he did. Unfortunately, that is true.
One of the, if not the greatest tag team wrestler of all time.
Oh, yeah, definitely up there. I mean, people always want to argue things and recency bias and this and that, but that's pretty undeniable.
Yeah, all the stories that I've been reading today. I mean, because I consider him a great tag team wrestler, for sure. Like, I mean, outside of the Midnight Express, he was always in, like, random tag teams. But that random tag team was always good because it had Bobby Eaton.
See, I agree. But I also got WCW in that weird era where they used to have the TV title just kill a lot of time on all the worldwides I'd watch. So I caught his TV title run, like when it was him, Wyndham, Stunning Steve, Dustin, all them doing like 15, 20 minute matches every week. So I caught him right around that era in his singles. But yeah, I obviously then know him mostly as a tag team wrestler.
Yeah. And then, yeah, just the things I was reading online today, just people talking about him and how, like, I think of him as a great tag team wrestler. But if you talk to a lot of guys from that era, they just consider him the best professional wrestler.
Yes, yes, yes.
But yeah, sad to note that off the rip. But we are here. We are back. We got a new team.
Yeah.
I don't want to jump right into preliminary thoughts, but I think I'm going to when because I suggested one of the Tyson Kidd teams.
Exactly. Yeah. When we talk about preliminary thoughts, if we're going there, the team we're talking about is Tyson Kidd And he's got a bunch of names. Harry Smith, David Hart Smith, Davies Boy Smith Jr. You know who we're talking about. That team, the Hart Dynasty, the Stampede Bulldogs, etc., etc. You know the two people we're talking about. But, yes, it was between them and the team of Tyson Kidd, and Cesaro was the other choice. And I know you had been eagerly trying to get to one of these two teams. May I ask, is it because you're just particularly a Tyson Kidd guy?
I don't know. I think I enjoyed both teams. I'll be honest. I was more leaning towards the Cesaro one. I'm a huge Cesaro guy. But we had already done the Kings, so that was off the table. But now that it's back on the table, I figured I'd put it out there.
Okay, and here, this will feed right into preliminary thoughts. I would assume then it was my vote going for these two that tipped the balance, because it seemed like you were either or, and I said this team. And here's the reason why, and it'll lead into preliminary thoughts. I was like, all right, well, let me look at those two teams, see what we're working with. And I saw Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. Dude, you look at it, they, however long their run is, they basically wrestled three teams. I think it was like five times, some one team and another team. And I was like, ay, ay, ay. And then when I looked up the Hart Dynasty, I was thinking, oh, crap, there's got to be even less. And I totally forgot that, oh, wait, they've been teaming for way before the WWE/F or whatever you want to call it. So my preliminary thoughts were I was excited because I don't know why my brain just was like, oh, crap, if Cesaro and Kidd only had barely anything, what's the Hart Dynasty going to have? And then I saw, like, oh, they had Canada stuff, they had indie stuff, and I was like, oh, wait, yeah, that's right. I was like, I'm pretty sure I have one of their matches on VHS. So I that made me excited. That's my preliminary thoughts, and that's why I picked this team.
Wait a second. You dug into weird Canadian indies?
No. I did watch one, I think. But no, I don't have. I think I have their MLW match on tape somewhere.
Oh, okay. I was like, whoa. Cheech apparently went way deeper on this thing than I did. But my preliminary thoughts, I could have gone either way. I know, you know, Tyson Kidd was in both of those tag teams, both successful tag teams. And so I wanted to hit one of them. I like Tyson a lot, so I wanted to hit one of those teams, and I was honestly 50-50. I could have gone either way. So yeah, I am. I was excited to dig in, because this is also right after I left WWE, and right after I left WWE, I watched almost zero.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. Something about being fired by a company makes you go, I'm not going to watch this for a little bit. So I did not see a whole lot of them at the time. So I was excited to catch up.
Okay, then, yeah, that must have been cool for you then. Because, yeah, my thoughts were, okay, well, let me ask you this then. How does it bounce off you that, like, I don't know, the Kidd and Cesaro team wasn't really doing nothing for me, because I was like, oh, they just wrestled the same three teams over and over again.
I feel like I remember a couple of Kidd and Cesaro, like, straight up bangers. I feel like I remember them having, like, three matches that were, like, blow you away good. So I was like,
all with the Usos.
I was like, okay, so if I watch those really good ones, I wonder what the rest of those look like. And I'm sure they've got some other, like, fun ones, because they were a fun team.
Okay. All right, then, yeah, maybe we'll get to them eventually in due time. But, yeah, I went with this team just because sheer breadth of content.
I also thought, after you made that decision, I was like, man, we just commented on how the wrestler that made us break our not doing any wrestler twice was Davey Boy Smith. And then we're just going right into his Kidd now. We're getting them all out of the way.
Well, you know, we're a multi-generational show now.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into their championships and accomplishments.
Bring them on.
So, and now that you're telling me about all this other stuff they did, I'm surprised Wikipedia does not list more random titles, but they are one-time Florida All-State Tag Team Champions, or whatever the FCW tag titles were.
Gotcha.
They are one-time WWE tag, one-time world tag, and I think the last unified tag, which is not on Wikipedia, but I feel like I read that.
I'll be honest. I wasn't really expecting all that much. That's a little mind-blowing.
Yeah, well, because they had both of the SmackDown and the Raw, and I think they were the unified and possibly the last unified. And in 2010, they were the runner-up for Tag Team of the Year in PWI. The Motor City Machine Guns took the award.
Wow. I'm not going to lie. I'm very surprised. I was like, ooh, championship is an accomplishment. To go, this might be a little barren.
Nope. It's there's some stuff. Well, right. So I kind of thought the same thing. But then as I started watching stuff, I was like, oh, I feel like they either have titles or are in title matches every match I watch.
Gotcha.
So I wasn't surprised they had some things. But yeah, not nothing. They are not on any of the lists, not even the WWE one.
Oh, wow. Maybe. Yeah. Who knows? Maybe in time that'll paint them better. Who knows?
I don't know. Their run is actually shorter than I thought.
Yeah, but okay, in my head I was like, yeah, it was a short run, but at least it ended for a good reason. And then I was like, oh no, wait, it didn't end because Tyson got hurt.
No, they had Tyson turn on Harry, I think.
Yeah, in my head I was like, oh, then they weren't a very I was thinking grand scheme of things. I go, boy, in their overall career, they weren't very so much of a long-term team. But I was like, oh, yeah, you know, Tyson does get hurt eventually. So that's why, you know, there's no chance to really see it again, per se. But, yeah, no, and I was like, you know, it wasn't like the typical WWE, like, oh, they're the Iconics. Let's just break them up for no reason. And then it was like, oh, no, wait, yeah, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, kind of. It kind of goes into it on their Wikipedia. It was like there were some draft things involved, and they got moved to one show to the other show, something, and then they just had some random split on Raw for no reason.
Sounds about right for WWE at this time.
Yeah.
And still to this day, kind of.
Right. Right. So, yeah. All right. Let's get into the matches we watched. So I will say I tried to do my usual start early and then roll through, but I got derailed real fast. And then I found an older match than what I started with. And then I was like, I'm off the rails. Let's go. And I just started jumping around.
Okay. That's funny. Cause I inadvertently, and like I said, wanting to look up like some of their indie stuff, I ended up going basically in chronological order.
Wow.
Yeah, so do you want to go? Yeah, okay, you go first then, since you're all over the board, man.
All right, I'm all over the map. Okay, I started with a Crime Time match from July 2009. Then I watched DX from December 2009. Then I got an Usos match from a SmackDown in July 2010. Then I jumped all the way back to FCW for a 2 out of 3 falls match with Joe Henning and Sebastian Slater. Then I watched them against Jericho and Miz from Over the Limit 2010, them against the Dude Busters from a SmackDown, them against Show Miz from a Raw, them against the Usos from Money in the Bank 2010, and then ended with them against Matt Hardy and John Morrison from a SmackDown.
Okay. All right, good. Then this will be good. We got a few together, but not too many, because it's funny. You went more WWE heavy. I went like 50-50. All right, let me see. Okay, yeah. Mine went pretty much in order. Actually not too much, but okay. Well, it's indie stuff, and then I went into WWE. But I started off with the Stampede Bulldogs versus Laramie Lexo and Jack Evans from an AWA Canada Pinnacle Cup from 2005. I did Harry Smith and TJ Wilson versus Sean Osborne and John Bolin from a Deep South Wrestling in 2007. I saw Stampede Bulldogs versus Bobby Quantz and Puma from MLW in 2004. I watched D.H. Smith and Tyson Kidd versus Joe Henning and Sebastian Slater from FCW in 2008. D.H. Smith and T.J. Wilson versus Scotty Goldman and a Carson Oakley, who we would later know as Alex Riley. I then saw a Hart Dynasty versus Christian and Jack Swagger from an ECW on Sci-Fi in 09. Then a Hart Dynasty versus Crime Time on a SmackDown, July 09, so probably the same one as you. Then the Matt Hardy, John Morrison from SmackDown, the DX, Shawn Michaels, Triple H from SmackDown, an R-Truth and John Morrison straight tag from SmackDown, and then a three-way with Truth and Morrison and Crime Time from a SmackDown in 2010.
Wow. All right. Yeah. So I'll be honest with you. I didn't even think to go back that far with their indie stuff. I just today, because I was trying to get some last minute ones in, I threw into the search finally, like, different names, you know, because I was like, oh, yeah, he was TJ Wilson. And oh, yeah, he was just like Davey Boy Smith Jr. or Harry Smith. And so, like, I tried messing around with the algorithm, like, today, and I was like, oh, man, I probably did miss some stuff by just looking up a lot of Hart Dynasty.
Yeah, that's the thing. Well, I can't really blame you, because, like I said, I, too, totally forgot all about that until I was comparing them to Kid and Cesaro, and I was like, oh, wait, oh, yeah, I totally forgot. Like, the Stampede Bulldogs were a thing.
Yeah, no, I totally didn't. Kind of... I'm interested that we got some different stuff, because my favorite match of the whole thing, you did not watch.
Oh, okay. Well, then yeah, that works.
I'm very intrigued. So if we're starting with the early, the Stampede Bulldogs, the MLW against Bobby Quance and Puma.
Heck yeah.
I love that. So what stands out early about them? Like, right away is usually, cause that's usually my thing. I usually like to go early cause there's usually something that stands out right off the rip.
Okay. Yes. They are archetypal wrestlers right off the bat, I wrote, but then I was like, oh, that basically was their whole career. Like, it's real funny. Cause I was like, the parallels between Harry and his dad are exactly the same, because you literally see him as just a tall, skinny kid, just like when we were talking about Davey Boy himself and how there's that England footage where he's just a skinny 130-pound kid. When some of these matches, Davey's boy has got to be probably 160, 170, but he's tall. That's the thing. It took a while for Home Dude to fill out, but yeah, he's definitely like a skinny kid, but he knows, like, oh, no, I'm tall. I'm going to be the big power wrestler. So he's doing suplexes and like half crabs, very archetypal. Same thing with Tyson. He's trying to be like Dynamite Kid, Chris Benoit stuff. He's just super crisp, technical guy, trying to be like Dean Malenko, you know, that archetype.
Yeah. So, yeah, because didn't Harry get started super young?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, that was the thing. I believe they were both, maybe I'm wrong, in Mat Rats, which was basically kid wrestling. So, yeah, they've definitely been wrestling. And then, yes, I believe Harry would do, like, because they would train in the dungeon as, like, teenagers. And on, like, Stampede shows, they'd be like, oh, an intermission or something like that. It would be like an offer match from, like, Mat Rats or, like, Next Generation Wrestling or something like that. And, yeah, they would do stuff in front of crowds as teenagers, like, young teenagers.
Was the story, I think this was about Harry Smith, that William Regal told him not to sign with WWE until he went to Japan?
Sounds about right.
When he was, like, real young, they were, like, talking about signing the son of the British Bulldog, and William Regal told him not to yet because he should go to Japan first because he was so young or something like that. But yeah.
Oh, definitely young.
No, I mean, but I kind of had the same thought right off the rip watching them. Like, yeah, they are. There's almost, other than like at times Tyson was very dynamic. Other than that, they're very by the books and just crisp and just, you know.
It's as if you grew up watching Stampede Wrestling and just watched a bunch of like really good technical wrestling.
Yeah, right. But sometimes I feel like even especially early, it, I don't know about bites them, but it doesn't do them any favors.
Yeah, Because especially when you're in WWE where like those archetypes exist, it's tough, especially when they're playing the whole second generation. Because think about it, it's taken a lot for there have been, all right, or let me say it better this way. There have been a ton of second generation wrestlers. There haven't been a ton of second generation superstars.
Sure. Right. I can't remember what match I was watching. Oh, right off the rip, they called Harry Smith a third generation wrestler. And I was like, who was Davey Boy Smith's dad that would have wrestled? And then the next match I watched, they were like, third generation wrestler, grandfather Stu Hart. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it's the mom side.
Yeah, I totally, it just, yeah, I was like, ignore me for that. But yeah, like, the first match I watched was them in Crime Time, and with the characters of Crime Time and the more gimmicky stuff of Crime Time, Hart Dynasty, like, they're just guys wrestling against Crime Time.
Yeah.
You
Well,
know?
which is what I liked about the indie stuff is you got to see them be free. Like, unfortunately, they do get into the system so quick. Like for example, like I'm sure like Tyson Kidd could probably do a 450, and I'm sure if he had a longer run on the indies, he probably would have done a 450. But like he went to WWE, so he was just doing arm drags and arm bars and sitting on them. You know what I mean? So it's not. I'm glad I saw the indie stuff because they did some cool. They had a couple double teams where I was like, "Yo, that is some cool crap," and that's very ahead of its time. Like I was like, "I might steal some of these things," but I'm like, "It's." I'm glad they got to, you know, get that out there as opposed to like if you just saw Hart Dynasty matches and like this is what they did for 3 years. It's kind of like, you know what I mean? Which was my fear in the. I guess we'll keep going back to this when the Tyson and Cesaro. I was like, they didn't have an indie run where they got to be weird and you know. Kind of spotty and throw everything at the wall. Here it's WWE. They're on Superstars. They've got 4 minutes. You're not going to get the full breadth of everything they can pull off in 4 minutes.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, I don't know, but yeah, I just feel like they're just in WWE, especially early on in WWE, they're just being good wrestlers w was basically to their detriment at times.
Of course, yeah, because especially at that time, the teams like okay, Crime Time were never the greatest like catch as catch can wrestlers. They needed to wrestle the wrestlers, and that's unfortunately what the Hart Dynasty was. They were the steady ball that everybody could bounce off of because the other balls couldn't be that ball. You know what I mean? You weren't gonna have like Crime Time as like the center and be like the gatekeepers of the division, let's say.
Okay, and a que another question about their earlier stuff. Was Harry always doing his father's offense?
Yeah, like he would find ways to do a stalling suplex and he would at least attempt a power slam.
I was curious if that was like a WWE decision that was made for him, or
I
if it
don't
was a
know.
him decision.
I would assume left to his own devices, he'd probably still do those things because, like, I've seen this stuff he's done in like Noah in Japan and New Japan on his own, and like he still does those things because once again, he's the archetype big strong guy, so he's gonna do big strong moves. That's exactly what his dad did.
Right, but he also does like the leg drop like his dad and other things that aren't like power stuff, but still like, you know, kind of the
But
same.
he ain't doing no front nip ups.
No, you think he could, right? He has to be able to.
Okay, I think he could, but he ain't busting him out like his daddy did.
That's true. Man, and we've already expelled all of our Davey Boy Smith teams, but oof, man, that front nip. But yeah, so but there's like something about Harry doing it, especially early, because it is like the same stuff as his dad, but his dad had such a specific way of doing almost everything that is unimitatable.
Yeah, Davey Boy, as we discussed, was just a freak in certain aspects. His son, though, I don't think was as freakishly athletic, but luckily he didn't have to be. He was the big guy.
Right. His is more Davey Boy potentially had more natural athleticism as opposed to Harry, who possibly it's learned athleticism.
Or he might be athletic, but he's just carrying an extra 50 pounds for no reason.
Yeah, that's true too. I just thought it was just something that crossed my mind when I was watching it. Just like, oh yeah, he's doing that because like that was his dad's thing too. But like his dad had such a way of doing all that stuff that trying to do the moves of his dad is a bit strange at times, because just like any way you slice it, it's not going to look like Davy Boy.
Yeah, it's hard to follow him.
Yeah, and I guess I never really realized that before, how like different he did things, until I'm watching this and straight comparing them, and I'm like, oh yeah, even like something as simple as a suplex or a leg drop, you know, the British Bulldog just had a way about him and a way about doing things.
Okay, well then, which was part of my concern, do you think maybe that was trained out of him, maybe? Because yeah, that's the thing, they were products, like I see them, I have them in Deep South, I have them in SCW, so like they were definitely around for a while and went through the system. Like they definitely went through the system.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like, so we both watched the Joe Henning Sebastian Slater match. I didn't know his name was Sebastian first, which is so wacky.
Oh, I had seen it in like one of his bios when like they show like previous names, and I was like, oh, I get it. Yeah, he does look a little like Sebastian Bach. I get it.
Right. But even in that match, which is FCW, it's 2 out of 3 falls. It's developmental. It's you know, you'd think they'd uncork a little bit more, but I guess that's probably a weird NXT expectation that they've given off into the world. But yeah, even in FCW, they weren't really uncorking and doing crazy stuff. It's still a lot of the same, except for DH Smith. Harry Smith does throw a random super kick in that match.
Okay, now, that match, you explained the match. What is your opinion on that match? And with the guise of not uncorking and that nature?
It felt like a produced TV match. But like a I don't know, a produced 2000s TV match.
Okay, I don't know why that match was driving me up a wall. I was so mad, and then I got even madder when it fucking worked. I was watching this match going, oh my god, no wonder they were in the freaking hellhole they were in. I go, whose fever dream? Who the hell was born in 1950 and is presenting 1960s to 70s wrestling in 2008? I was like, who in their right mind thinks Joe Henning in his pudgy body is, oh no, let's have him do, he's going to be the prototypical 1980s babyface with arm drag and hip toss and back body drop. And I was like, FCW turned the business back decades. And then all of a sudden, they make like a hot tag or some sort of false, and the crowd goes bonkers. And I was like, what the hell? God damn it, it worked.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what I'm getting at. It looks like,
it gave me heartburn. It gave me agita. I was so mad. And then it worked. And I only contend, I was like, it only worked because the one false was good, and I'm sure it had Tyson dust all over it. But I was like, other than that, what? Oh, it was driving me nuts. I was like, how do you think Joe Henning's like an over flippy do baby face?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I could see that. It felt like, I guess more what I would say is, yeah, it felt like a training match. It felt like a produced training match. Like they had like, okay, you guys are going to do 2 out of 3 falls. Keep it real simple. It's going to go like, you know, lay out the first fall like a full match. But then at the end of the comeback is where the first fall happens.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I understand like from architecturally, like, okay, yeah, the bones of the match. But I was like, who the hell thinks someone's going to want to watch that? Who thinks it's okay that in 2008 for a 2 out of 3 falls match, my hot tag is arm drag, hip toss or something? I'm like, what is this?
But that was so, and it did get better for the Hart Dynasty. It got better.
Fine. They did fine. I just thought the position they're in, like, obviously these guys can cut loose, and they can because they're literally wrestling like it's 1982.
Yeah. But D.H. Smith does throw a random super kick in there.
Yeah, and the crowd gets hot, and he Joe hits a perfect plex, and then Natty pulls the leg, and Tyson does some cool transition into the crucifix, and it looks dope. And I was like, God damn it, this match turned out great.
Yeah, oh, the finish? I loved that finish.
I know you would.
The perfect plex from the apron in, really never seen in my entire life.
Yeah, no, that whole thing. And okay, let's get to it, because Yes, it was that match where I go, all right, I'm four matches watching in, and I want to, I keep going back between Tyson and TJ. I want him to be my agent.
You want him to be your agent?
Yeah, because that's his new thing. Everybody talks about how great an agent he is nowadays, and I was like, oh, I 1,000% see it.
He was my agent when I wrestled Kenta.
Okay, is he a genius?
Well, so for that match, he was he's good at his job.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's what I hear. And after watching him in this system, that's the thing. After watching this, I go, TJ's really good at getting to do cool things when nothing's supposed to be happening.
Yeah, he's the reason that there was like anything in that match done cool, because he was like, oh, yeah, what do you think about this? Yo, no, Colin can do that. Oh, yeah, no, give this to Colin. Oh, yeah, he'll take that great. You know, like kind of pulling more out of the match than there may have been before.
Yeah, he seems very much okay, I'll use an old JR saying. He maximizes his minutes.
Yeah, no, he does. Bobby Eaton style, he would say.
Very much, but yeah, that's the one thing I watched this, and I was like, because yeah, he's not doing a ton, but all of a sudden when the finish looks super cool and done super well, and I was like, wow, it's glimpses of that where you're like, oh man, they could probably, you know, do stuff, but oh no, wait, we're treating this crowd like they haven't left the 80s.
okay, let's another random thing that I noticed a couple of times. Because structurally, they used the same style a couple times, with taking the heat. And at first, I was like, I don't know if I like this. I feel like TJ should be, you know, let Harry give that big comeback. But what they would do is they would let Harry would take a heat and do a comeback.
Yep, he would make his own comeback.
And he takes a for a big dude. He takes a great heat.
It was weird for me to try and understand things as him when I'm watching, because it's like, okay, technically he's just a skinny kid that filled out, but then at a certain point he's like, oh no, he actually is a big guy. So sometimes I don't know which brain he's working with. I was like, is he still acting like the skinny guy, or is he now the big guy?
He's both. He takes a good heat. He sells really well. He's believable taking a heat. And
which
then
I
he
find
comes
to be all characteristics of usually smaller guys, because they usually take heat more often. As a big guy, you're like, oh, they don't really get beat up very often, so they're not so used to selling and things. But I wonder if that plays into it because of his past from being, you know, he wasn't always the big dominant guy.
Right. Right. I just thought it was funny how, like, and they would do it a lot. Like, TJ would get like a cool shine to open, and then Harry would be the one who would get stopped and get beat up to get Tyson in, but then Tyson would quickly get stopped to let Harry run his own comeback.
Yeah, it was good stuff, and especially, you know, Tyson would at least try to enter. Okay, it's weird. I had an issue with Hayabusa always entering the ring via springboard, but TJ kind of does that a little bit, not nearly as much, but I was like, he'll definitely find a way to get a springboard in there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Which, once again, I then attribute to, okay, you've got 4 minutes. How are you going to show you're athletic? It's like, okay, nothing's going on here. Okay, I'll springboard into whatever.
here's a spot that I saw in one of those. You watched them against the Usos?
No.
Okay. Listen to this one. I'm going to tell you it now on the podcast. And then when we steal it at some point, someone's going to be like, they took that from the Hart Dynasty. But it was so clever. Harry Smith got dunked out to the floor by one of the Usos. And then TJ came and clotheslined that the top rope. And then Harry took the clothesline over the top rope like a moonsault to the floor.
Oh, onto the guy?
Yeah, like he took it. He took the clothesline. Like the Uso took the bump backwards, and then Harry caught him like it was a moonsault bump. And that wiped both of them out on the floor.
Oh, that is good stuff. What's the like, there was a bunch of clever stuff. That was the one thing that kept coming back. I was like, all right, even though these WWE... And quick to the point, there's always a fun little, quick little wrinkle in there that I always enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of those. A lot of just little interesting, like, oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, like there's one with, he does an TJ does an Oklahoma roll, the JTG, who somehow rolls out into a schoolboy. And I was just like, what? I've never seen that before.
Oh, yeah. That was the same Crime Time match I watched. I rewound it.
I had to, too. I was like, how'd he do that? And he feeds his arm this real weird way. I was like, I got to try that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we may be giving TJ way too much credit, but every time I was like, TJ.
Yeah, you know me. I love to be like, who's the brains behind this? And I'll always pick someone. Just like if Lance Storm's about, like, all right, it was Lance's idea. It was Lance, or it was Hurricane Helms. Any of those guys, I'll always be like, they're smart. We must have been that guy.
Yeah. Imagine wrestling Tyson Kidd, and you have this super clever idea. But then after the match happens, you know everyone just thought it was Tyson.
I was going to say, that's the worst part. Or if you ever wrestle him and he's dumb as bricks, and you're like, he's like, I don't know. Harry had good ideas. And you're like, wait, it was Harry the whole time?
Or like that spot, he was like, that was a JTG idea. And you're like, what? It was a JTG idea?
Yeah. I will say, JTG much better when you watch him, when we get to watch him in these matches like this, as opposed to so sparingly when we saw them on TV in, you know, like normal continuity.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. So I said earlier that you didn't watch my favorite match that I watched.
Yeah, which was it? What was it? Bring it on.
Versus Jericho and Miz from Over the Limit 2010.
I didn't know, and I felt like I looked and tried to find any big matches, and I don't know why that didn't pop up, but or maybe I must have missed it. I had to have missed it.
Because it is just like you always talk about. They have big match stuff.
I'm sure they do. Oh, man, I'll have to go watch it, because that's the thing. I was like, I'm sure they – well, like I said, I saw they did cool stuff on the indies.
Yeah. They did a bunch of, like, back-and-forth false finishes. I was like, oh, yeah, here we go. No, like, crazy double teams, but just, like, you know, kind of getting some things in there, yeah. It was my favorite one. It had a little bit of time. It was like a 12-minute tag title match on pay-per-view. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I must have missed it. Because first I was looking for notable matches, pay-per-view matches, and then I was looking for just matches with time. Like, I accidentally, one of the R-Truth John Morrison matches is like a minute and a half. I was like, plus, okay, I waited, finally chuck it up. We're obviously fans of the cage match. We go to cage match and find all this stuff. I've heard there are negative things about the cage match. I found the negative things. Their dates are – I don't know who's off. I don't know if they're off or the WWE Network's off. Because on them, they'll be like, on March 2nd on SmackDown. But then you go and it's like, there was no SmackDown on March 2nd. And I was like, yeah. Oh, it was really 5th.
So sometimes you can chalk that up to that SmackDown was taped. So – their result has the taped date on cage match, but the aired date would be like 3 days later.
Oh, in my head, I was like, is that just when it aired in Germany? Maybe I don't know. I didn't think about it. It just made it hard for me to find certain matches.
Yeah, and no, I've run into it too. Their dates are a little wacky sometimes.
Yeah, but luckily, and okay, while we threw a negative at cage match, trust me, guys, we're still going to use you. You're a great resource. Let's give a little bonus points to WWE Network. They uploaded all the, I assume it's all of SmackDown. I remember last time we were complaining that they only had 3 seasons. I went and had them, now they have like 23 seasons. So I was like, okay, let's get into it. Because I was worried because a lot of the matches were SmackDown. And I was like, oh boy. But I was like, oh, Network finally uploaded them all. So congrats. Thank you, Network.
I'm still not rolling with the network, so I did this all off YouTube and Daily Motion.
Oh, okay. Well, good for you. Well, it's funny. Once again, you said it was the terms you were looking for. I was like, how'd you not run into like the Stampede Bulldog stuff? Which, okay, I'll go into probably. I think it's just my favorite match would be the Puma Quants match, just because A, it's them. But and they got to cut loose. Like, here, I'll tell you the cool spot they did in there that I thought was super cutting edge that someone should steal nowadays if they're this type of wrestler. I think TJ had Puma in a reverse DDT, but then he it was almost like a slingshot reverse suplex, like Tully does, but reverse.
Yep.
Backflips him over, or no. Does it springs, but turns. Doesn't backflip him over, turns, and then Harry catches the legs, and it's like a reverse DDT, like sit-out powerbomb.
Oh, okay.
Combination, and then after the sit-out, Davey back rolls Puma, but as Puma back rolls, TJ's right in front and grabs the foot right into an ankle lock on the back roll.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that is cool. I was like, oh, some ankle lock boy out there better figure out how to do that cool spot.
Yeah, that AKA me when I start doing an ankle lock tomorrow.
I was going to say, we ain't ankle lock boys. Oh, wait. Oh, no, no. I'm going to turn into a big tough guy shooter and, you know, do ankle locks and mean arm, mean clotheslines and back elbows. I've been practicing.
I'm fine with that. Do it.
But yeah, cool stuff like that. That's what I dug, the creativity in there. And there was an another cool thing was, you know how they would do the – it's now – isn't it now the Proud and Powerful's finish of the springboard blockbuster powerbomb?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They hit that out of a cool one where Puma goes to put Harry in a triangle. He brings him up to the – he starts – puts on the triangle, but he powers him up to sitting on the top rope where – Tyson then gave him like a front kick or like a super kick. Then he turned it into the powerbomb, into the springboard, into the blockbuster.
I think I only saw it once. I might have seen it twice. They do, as the Heart Dynasty, they do a springboard heart attack.
Yep, they do normal heart attack. They do springboard heart attack. I think he did one time with a drop kick involved too.
Springboard heart attack looks like it sucks for TJ.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Definitely does.
Because he's like, he comes off and he's got to hit that thing and kind of ride it down, but the timing's never exactly right coming off a springboard. So he just winds up like kind of eating shit every time.
Yeah, it looks rough. I know why he does the blockbuster.
Oh, no, 100%. I can't remember which one. I think it was the finish to the match against Big Show and Miz. He does it, and he just kind of, like, goes on his hip weird, and I was like, oh, I bet you that's why there's a blockbuster involved now.
Yeah, I like that he just could do it. It was odd. He hit one on Shawn Michaels, and I was like, I feel like Shawn Michaels maybe's never taken a springboard blockbuster because he looked a little lost, and I was like, I bet that's a little weird for him.
What I don't even remember what the finish to that match was, but I wrote, fuck that finish.
He hits a super kick from the apron, and the guy then
God, I hated that. Oh, thanks for reminding me. That was awful.
Yeah, that match was weird. Here, I'll play internet troll. It had a lot of Triple H dust on it because, like, it seemed like. They were like, oh, no, no, we'll have a 50-50 match. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And then, you know, we'll beat you with some crappy finish. But in turn, it was like, oh, yeah, we're going 50-50. But it's more like, oh, I'm hitting your dad's moves, and then you're going to hit it on me. You know, it'll be 50-50. I was like, no, you're mocking him. And then he hits it on you later. It's not, it takes away the wind out of the sails, blah, blah, blah. That mean man, that mean Triple H burying everybody with his shovels and everything.
I just hated apron super kick. It's trash. It is trash.
I don't like a super kick from the apron, but I've super kicked a man on the apron.
But like guy feeding to the corner and you super kick him from the apron, trash.
Yep, and then he turned right into the pedigree. And then 6 feet under he was, with Triple H buried him with his pencil power.
Ugh.
Okay, but no. Honestly, if we found out the truth, it'd be like, oh, that damn TJ, he just buried everyone. He's the worst, blah, blah, blah. Where we're blaming Triple H, but it's like, no, it was TJ's fault the whole time.
Well, no, I can't do it. I was trying to justify it. I couldn't do it. Couldn't get myself there.
No, bro, that's the truth. That's the truth. TJ's the mean evil one, and Triple H is the great guy.
All right. Oh, real quick sidebar. When I look them up by name instead of as a team, you know how it'll pop up random other on YouTube, it'll pop up like random other videos from other things?
Yes. That
aren't necessarily what you search for, but are kind of along the same lines. There's a video on YouTube. So I'm just scrolling, I'm scrolling. There's a video. All of a sudden, I see a picture of myself.
Oh.
Like, recent picture of myself. And it says, 6 wrestlers who have made amazing transformations since leaving WWE. It's a video from, like, 6 months ago that someone made. And me and D.H. Smith are both on the list.
Yeah, bro, you guys have transformed your bodies, which I don't understand. He looks the same. He's got maybe a better tan and maybe got a little more cut, but it's not demonstrably super-duper different, I don't think.
Yeah, me, Kenny Dykstra, Carlito, Daivari, D.H. Smith. This is the list.
All right. How does it feel to be in such good company, Colin?
You're damn right I clicked that video. I'm trying to watch Hart Dynasty matches, and I see a picture of myself side by side with a picture of myself from 08, and I was like, what is happening? All right. So what made the Stampede Bulldogs, the Hart Dynasty, Tyson Kidd, and D.H. Smith so great?
I think, like I had said earlier, they just maximized their minutes. They were never going to get the 30-minute main event. They weren't going to get the, you know, tag team wrestling wasn't going to be get a great resurgence magically in 08, 09, and 2010. They did the best they could with the cards they were dealt. And like I said, luckily, like I said, since I saw the early stuff, I could see that there is greatness there. Unfortunately, they were just in a system that didn't quite, nurture it. But like we said, they always found a way in every match to at least entertain. They maximized their minutes. Anytime they had a chance, in more matches where you'd think guys would just get away with a punch and a kick, they at least threw in a different wrinkle. They at least got creative. And for that, that's all I really want. You know what I mean? And like you said, you were able to see they do have big match stuff. So as long as they got cool stuff, they're making it constantly entertaining. And I think another thing that makes them great, maybe it's just me, maybe I'm wrong, I feel like the name Hart Dynasty, well, granted, it's part of the Hearts, but I feel like it just has more cachet. I feel like you're going to remember the Hart Dynasty more than you will, like, Deuce and Domino, Cade and Murdoch, you know, other random tag teams that had short runs. I don't know. I feel like the Hart Dynasty at least stood out.
Yes, for sure. And we it happens a lot on this where, like, the first thing you notice about a team is that thing that makes them so great, and it's the thing that keeps coming up. And just their solidness, their absolute solidness, and then the ability to throw something cool and clever in there. And it may not be the biggest thing in the world. It may not literally take the match up any snowflakes, but it's just something clever and something that you're like, oh yeah, okay, I'm into that. And the shame of the whole thing is that I feel like towards the end of their run, they were really hitting their stride, really like doing some more cool stuff and doing some better stuff. And that's it happens a lot when we're talking about these teams. The end of the run is the best stuff they did. And then the team just gets broken up and it's like, ugh, and they never went back to it. And now we'll probably potentially never know what the full potential of the team could be.
Yeah, that's something true I didn't really think about. Their entire career, while not a skyrocket, in my opinion, was a steady incline. Like, I never, like, I mean, we cover some of these teams where it's like, oh, they skyrocketed the top, and then, you know, they kind of fell from glory and eventually split up. It was like, no, like we just said, their stuff at the end was their best stuff. It was just, you know, like we said, they got stuck in some wacky storyline with a draft or, you know, WWE being WWE. But technically, their whole time, they were just going up.
Right. Right, even from a young age, from being kids all the way up, they just kept getting better and better. I mean, in 2010, you got to think they were both still super young, and they get broken up, and then they just never go back to that. I think Harry got released, and then TJ yep. goes with Cesaro, and so on and so forth, and it's like, ugh, man, I don't know. It seems like there was so much more there that they could have rode for a while if they weren't so WWE in the early late 2000s where they just knee jerk break people up for TV that night.
But even then, just look at the teams we're talking about that they were facing. R-Truth and John Morrison, come on. Who else? Matt Hardy and John Morrison was one I saw. Crime Time. It's like these weren't, they didn't have the best dance partners.
Hold on a second. You're telling me the Dude Busters aren't the best dance partners?
No! I'm sorry, Caitlin Croft.
Bro, that match opens with an in-ring Dude Busters promo.
Didn't the Dude Busters get a lot of time because that one guy talked, not Trent?
I don't know. Trent talks in this one. But
oh, yeah. Does he? Oh, okay. I always remember Caitlin Croft guy was always the talker of the two, I believed.
But yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, it was like real early Usos. They weren't even like good Usos yet. Crime Time a bunch. They wrestled all of the Jericho and Miz, Jericho and Big Show and Miz, random combos. So yeah, you're right.
Move them a decade later. Put them in 2017 with the good Usos, with Shield members. All those
Day.
Things, you'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree.
So, yeah, unfortunately, they did what they did all that they could. They maximized, they did the best with what they had. And unfortunately, it wasn't much. But, you know, to wrestlers like us who like good wrestling, they always brought that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I wish that I had more matches of theirs to watch. For sure. I left this thing going, man, I wish I had more. I wish there was more there for me.
Well, feel free to go watch them in Deep South versus a buddy of ours, John Boland and Sean Osborne. I totally saw that. I was like, holy crap, John Boland.
Yeah. All right. So how would we defeat the Heart Dynasty Stampede Bulldogs, TJ and Harry?
Okay. This is a little haha, but it's sadly true. We go more than 10 minutes because then they'd be lost.
Man, I don't know. I don't know.
Come on. We could keep up with them. We've faced dudes just as big as Harry. And yeah, I know he's like a legit shooter now and stuff, but like, I think we could try and survive him. TJ's a machine, but seriously, find me a match where they went over like 11 minutes. They wouldn't know what to do. And unfortunately, you know, you said they do got big match stuff, so I'm sure they got more cards up their sleeve, but I don't know if those cards may run out after 15 minutes, maybe. And you know, we've at least done that. We've put in more time than them, probably.
I would say avoid the heart attack is what I would say first.
Yes.
And because that's really their only double team. We could go back to the double team them to death. So tag team wise, we've got more firepower than them. I don't know. I think we'd have to out clever them because typically that clever thing that they, the clever wrinkle they throw in is somewhere towards the end, and that could get us. We got to beat him to the punch on the clever and potentially double team them to death.
Yeah, and judging from the teams they face, I don't know, they're indie days. It's been a long time. Their run, they didn't have little guys like us. Like, we would have to become high flyers because I don't. That's the one team I didn't really see them battle. Like, the biggest high flyer was Morrison, and yeah, but his is a little more parkourish. You know what I mean? Ours is a little more classic wrestling, death from above, if we need to be.
And Morrison won with his flippy do split legged guy. So
I also saw R-Truth win twice with just the flying burrito. So they're susceptible to flying burritos.
I can do one of those.
Yeah, I can do it, and I can do the spinoff like R-Truth does too.
Oh well, that I can't do.
Yeah. So I think we do that. We don't let TJ springboard.
Well, yeah.
Body oil and rub it against the ropes.
I didn't catch any of the R-Truth matches. Does R-Truth take a big whirly bird bump off of the Harry Smith shoulder tackle?
No. One of the matches, literally, it's hot tag. He runs off flying burrito 1-2-3.
What?
Yeah.
All right. Well, so I guess flying burrito and we're out.
Yeah, oil the top rope, flying burrito, and go over 11 minutes.
What a game plan. What a game plan. All right, that's it. We did it. Hart Dynasty in the books.
That's right. We've done two generations now. Have we done any other two generations? Have we done a father, son yet? We may have,
oh,
but
God.
This is something.
I can't even, I couldn't even formulate a guess for you.
Little fact, Hayabusa is the son of Takamichinoku, so we've done another father and son.
Yeah, I'm flipping through the book really quick, and I don't think so. I mean,
did Chad Gable have a son that we don't, or who is Chad Gable the son of someone? You just got to think of someone young we've done and who their dad could be.
Well, Jason Jordan, in theory, is Kurt Angle's son, but we have not done a Kurt Angle team. Oh, we can do another one next week.
Oh, I'm sure that's the thing. At this point, we've got more. Or we need to do people's fathers. We can – oh, okay. I've thought of it, and there may be enough footage. It may require a little work. But technically, we could do the fathers of Los Guerreros, a.k.a. Los Guerreros.
It'd probably be tough.
Not really. There's a lot of their text, like the some of the stuff they did in America is on, because I've watched quite a few of their matches watching other teams we've done.
We could do we can go three generations. We can go trips generations. We can find some Rey Mysterio senior matches. And then we already did Ray and Kidman, and then we can do Ray and Dominic.
Okay, okay. Okay, this is just stupid internet troll nonsense, but like technically we did Eddie Guerrero and Sasha Banks, and she thinks she's Eddie's son, so we did two generations there.
Wow. Wow. We're all over the place.
Yeah, now I'm just being a troll. But that's the thing. We can now do second generations on the table. Let's try and explore that maybe.
Yeah, I am down for that. I have no thoughts on next week, but we just did a 2010s team, so or like a, you know, late 2000s early 2010s team. That pretty much opens the book up for us. We can go any which way we choose.
I'm not gonna lie, part of me has recently been thinking like of course we keep going back and looking. I was like, we could also just now, like, AEW's been around for almost 2 years now. Like, we can do any team that's been in like full time in AEW, and it's like, oh wow, that's like a whole new crop we could start picking from if we want to get super recent.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, okay, just jumping to my head right now would be the Dark Order of Stu Grayson and Player Uno. Like, hey, we've wrestled them, but like they've been together for over a decade. And at this point, they're now a national tag team.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, that's the thing. For a while, I kept trying to look backwards, but then recently I've been like, oh, this we could do like a super current team too.
This is usually the conversation me and Cheech have off air.
You need to understand. It's all on the table.
Yeah, yeah. We are literally wide open now. So we're going to continue this conversation off air. So this podcast isn't like 2 hours. But yeah.
So just keep your eye on the Twitter, or if you've already subscribed on whichever you listen to, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. And you'll find out next time what team we're going to pick. But until then,
adios.
Yeah.